The American Psychological Association has a new president, and in her new role, Tamer Bryant wants to bring psychology to the people. That includes those who may not have access to a therapist. The stakes are high as Americans face a number of mental health challenges. There's the trauma of racism, dozens of mass shootings, the ripple effects of a pandemic, and the complicated feelings that surround everything from the economy to climate change. Young people are especially struggling to cope. Tamer Bryant is a clinical psychologist with a PhD at Pepperdine University, where she directs the Culture and Trauma Research Laboratory. And she hosts the Homecoming Mental Health Podcast. Professor Bryant, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be with you.
So you're leading the nation's psychologists during a really stressful and deeply painful time in our history. How dire is the mental health crisis right now?
People are really struggling on a number of fronts. There are so many different causes for our stress and anxiety, some still related to COVID-19, some people dealing with grief and mourning, others financial loss and strain, as well as the realities of racial stress and trauma. There is so much that is happening in our communities, our schools, and families, and then nationally, of course. It is important for us to be in the forefront of providing services and also letting people know about mental health.
You know, for those who don't know, you're also an ordained minister of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and you are the fourth Black woman and second minister to lead the APA in 130 years. What does that say to you about our openness to faith and psychology, perhaps working together?
Yes, it is important progress that we're making in terms of recognizing the impact of spirituality and religion on diverse people's lives, that many people find communities of faith supportive. And we also recognize the realities of some having experienced religious abuse or harm in what was supposed to be sacred spaces. So we are attending much more to the need of psychologists and other mental health professionals to not ignore spirituality, but to talk with their clients about what that means to them and how it shapes the way they cope with their lives, the way they make meaning from their lives, and for some people, how they recover from life's challenges.
I mean, this seems like a bit of a departure. It hasn't always been the way, because there's been some conflict throughout history between religion and psychology, and maybe the use of spirituality to help overcome mental health challenges.
Definitely. And so when we think about those divisions, we can see really the distrust that has existed on both sides, that some within faith communities discourage their members from seeking psychotherapy. Some would make the argument that if you're going to pray about it, why would you need to do anything else? And so really trying to put forward that message that it's not an either or. It's not a false choice. It is a false choice to say you have to either be a person of faith or utilize mental health services. And so we've been doing a lot more bridge building respectfully with communities of faith. And then I will also say on the psychology side that there have been those in our field who have been dismissive or pathologizing of people who are spiritual or who are religious, whether it is from their own personal experiences with negative encounters in that religious space, or also being sensitive or tuned into the experience of others. So it's important for us to hold that range where there it has been a place of harm for some and a place of strength for others. And we need to be open to hearing what people's experiences have been.
Yeah. You know, Professor Bryant, you have been very open about your personal journey over the course of your life. You've overcome being evacuated from the civil war in Liberia and a sexual assault. How does your story inform your work in psychology?
Yes, my experiences both with war and the sexual assault make me tune in to the silences, paying attention to who in the room has been overlooked, or what are the issues that haven't been named, because these traumas, whether war or sexual violence, partner abuse, they are often experiences that people keep as secrets, but they really can shatter someone's meaning of life and of themselves. And so I pay attention even organizationally to what are our priorities that we want to continue, but then also in terms of being expansive and transformative, what are the additional communities or issues that we really want to be tuned into and to highlight.
I want to ask you just for a moment about young people, and we've heard a lot about what they've been going through post-pandemic, through the pandemic, post-pandemic, and, you know, parents might be seeing their children, young children, teenagers, moody, you know, depressed, maybe anxious. What advice do you have for parents who might be concerned that their child is struggling?
So for parents who are listening, I would say, one, it's important for us to normalize the conversation, to in a routine way ask our children deeper questions. And if we just say, how was your day, often we'll get a one-word answer. And I say this not only as a psychologist, but a mother of two. And so, you know, we created kind of the format at dinner of saying, what was the best thing that happened today and what was the worst thing? And, you know, on most days, their worst thing is homework. But then there are some days where something else has happened or something else is on their mind. And not only do I ask them, but I also share my best and worst thing of the day. So I think our transparency can also help so that they know some days are difficult, right? Or some friendships or relationships that there can be stress and strain, and that family is a place we can talk about it, provide support for each other. And then I would say really observing and knowing your children so that you can pay attention when there's been a change. And when there's been a change in their behavior or in their mood, to be able to have a direct conversation with them. Sometimes parents are afraid if I bring it up, it's going to make them depressed. But actually, our silence is what can leave them feeling isolated. And so we want to be mindful to be supportive so they will continue to see you as a safe place for them to share.
This is so helpful, you know, and I wonder if this is kind of like the tip about the dinner table discussion. Is this kind of what you mean when you say your goal is to bring psychology to the people?
Yes, it is, to make it a part of our public conversation, our public discourse. So even this moment now is so important because it should never just be for the elite. Some people have the idea that that's for rich people, right? And it needs to be whatever your walk of life is around economics, around your race, your sexuality, your religion, your gender, disability. We want to be mindful that each of us is worthy of care, of respect, and of knowledge, because when we share knowledge, people can be empowered.
You know, I know there are many communities, I've heard it a lot in my life, of, you know, therapy is for certain people, and, you know, you just, it's like a luxury. You just sit and talk about yourself. Can you tell me in a nutshell why talking, why going to therapy can really help through moments of crisis?
Yes, thank you so much for the question, because some people will say, therapy is for people who don't have friends, and that's not true. So therapy is not just like talking to another friend. It really is someone who is trained and who has had the experience to recognize what are the strategies and the insights that can help you to be empowered to really live your best life, and also to heal from the wounds of the past or the present. And so it's helpful to go to a place where you will invest the time and the energy and really recognizing who you are and who you want to be and the steps to get there.
Professor Brian, is there a song that we can go out on that you find calming, healing, inspiring in this moment?
Yes, I love hearing Beyonce sing You Can't Break My Soul.
Oh gosh, I'm almost about to bust out singing right now. let's not do that.
Yeah, you know, it's uplifting. And yes. Yeah.
I agree. I love it. I love it.
Good, good.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Tamer Bryant, President of the American Psychological Association. We appreciate you joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.